is God's gift to us. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It's by grace that you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, not of works. It's a gift of God. And if God gives me a gift, if he gives me the gift of salvation, and he gives me the gift of the Holy Spirit, will God ever take his gift back? Will God take his gift back? Now, I don't see in the Bible where it says that he will take his gift back.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today. Dr. Glaze will conclude part one of Anointing Fall on Me from our series, Will the Real Holy Spirit Please Stand Up? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of part one of Anointing Fall on Me.
Here goes another one. What did Jesus say? Turn to John 14 and verse 6. Verse 16. John 14 and verse 16. I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble on this. Will the real Holy Spirit please stand up? I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble on this one. John 14, verse 16. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you as long as you are living right. He will abide with you forever. So that means that if I genuinely accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now, you know, a lot of times we have what I call Alka-Seltzer Baptists. What is an Alka-Seltzer Baptist? They come in, fizzle for a little while, and then fizzle out. And then people say what? Well, that person lost their salvation. No, they didn't lose it. They never had it. They never had that salvation. And, you know, it grieves my spirit when we start talking about people losing their salvation, when we're talking about people that never had their salvation. And the fact is, what does the scripture say? It says it in the Old Testament, and it says it in the New Testament. It says that the dog returns to the vomit, and the pig returns to the slop. Why is that? You can take Arnold Ziffel. Now, young people don't know who Arnold Ziffel is, right? Arnold Ziffel was a pig on Green Acres, right? You can take Arnold Ziffel. You can wash him up. You can put a bow tie on Arnold. You can spray some perfume on Arnold. And Arnold might be all right for a little while, but eventually Arnold is going to make his way back to the mud. Why? Because it's in his nature to go back to the mud. And so if a person has been truly born again, I'm not talking about this fake profession. You know, as a matter of fact, let's go back to the book. Let's go back to the book and let's look at what Jesus said. What did he say? He said, in that day, in the last day, in that day, many will come unto me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in thy name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do many marvelous works in your name? And Jesus said, depart from me, because I never knew you. And so it's possible for a person to preach the word of God, to sing in the choir, to serve as a deacon, to serve as a trustee, to serve as an usher, to come up and sit in somebody's church every week and not know the Lord. It's possible for somebody to do that. That's why the Bible says you need to make your calling and election sure. You need to be sure about your own salvation. And make sure that when we worried about other people. You know, you need to be worried about yourself. You need to make sure that you're sure that you're sure that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to be sure that you are born again. Because if we are born again, the Spirit of God lives in us. And the Bible says that Jesus said, he shall abide with you forever. All right? Now, when we think about the fact that he abides with us, what is salvation? Salvation is God's gift to us. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It's by grace that you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, not of works. It's a gift of God. And if God gives me a gift, if he gives me the gift of salvation, and he gives me the gift of the Holy Spirit, will God ever take his gift back? Will God take his gift back? Now, I don't see in the Bible where it says that he will take his gift back. So, my brothers and sisters, before you email me or call and leave a message on my voicemail, when you leave it, just say, Pastor Glaze, I know you were talking about somebody that was truly born again. I'm not talking about a person that's made a false profession. I'm not talking about a person that came up in somebody's church for a minute. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about somebody that's truly born again, that Jesus said they have the Holy Spirit. And he said that if you don't have the Holy Spirit, Paul said, then you are none of mine. And then if you have the Holy Spirit, he abides with you forever. Oh, would a real Holy Spirit please stand up? And so the Holy Spirit lives in us. So what is the question that I ask now? You know, the question that I ask is, if the Holy Spirit lives in us, then we need to be careful about what we do and where we go. Now, I've written a couple books, but I'm getting into writing songs now. I'm starting to write songs. And I just wrote a new song, and it's up there. We've all read the song, Be Careful, Little Eyes or Ears or Hand or Feet or Mouth, What You Do. You know, be careful, we'll stay with the eyes. Little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down with love and love, so be careful, little eyes, what you see. So my song is, be careful, little eyes, what you see, because the Father up above is looking down with love, so be careful, little eyes, what you see. And so here's the part that I added. There's a God within who's trying to keep you from sin, so be careful, little eyes, what you see. You think that one might make the songbooks there? Instead of there's a Father up above, because there is a Father up above, but there's also a God where? That's within, and he's trying to do what? He's trying to keep you from sin. So be careful what you do. When we think about the fact that sometimes we sit down and watch things, or we are involved in things, that if God took on a body, and we knew that was God that took on a body and came with us and sat in that room with us, I guarantee you that you would, now I'm going to say, now some people are just bold, you know, some people are bold, so they might not, but I would say the majority of us would probably not turn on that program. You know, the majority of us probably would not go to that place. Oh, watch this now. Watch this. The majority of us would not say some of the things that we would say otherwise. But why don't we realize that God is there? He's living in me. There's a God within who's trying to keep you from sin. So be careful, little tongue, what you say. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little feet, where you go. The anointing of the indwelling. And then finally, the anointing of empowerment. The anointing of empowerment. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power. That when I say anointing, fall on me. anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. That whenever I say that, I'm saying, Lord, regenerate me. Lord, indwell me. Lord, empower me. Look at Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. It says, But ye shall receive power. When? After the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in all Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That no Christian should ever be fearful about sharing the gospel. But we are. You know, we don't want to, you know, we got friends, right? And we, man, you know, if I say something to them about Jesus, then that's going to mess everything up now. You know, then they're going to be avoiding me. You know, and, you know, there's ways that we can tactfully share this good news with people without running them off. And we just need to pray. God will show us. Matter of fact, I'm writing a book. I've written a book on evangelism and just trying to get it out. But in that book, you know, I talk about what are some non-intimidating ways to be able to share the gospel. And I list about four or five in there. But Christ says that he has empowered us to be able to share the good news, that the people around us on our job, our family, you know, that we need to have a burden for these folks. And the reason that I say that, because people are going to hell in a handbasket. And not only that, but we have people around us every day that's struggling with things. And I look at them and I say, man, Jesus is the answer. And people say, well, there you go with that Jesus stuff. Here you go. You know, Jesus again. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's all you know. But when you look at it, I'm looking at your life and I'm saying, your way is not working. That's why you're in the shape that you're in. Your way is not working. So why not give your heart to Jesus and let him work in your life? Jesus said, now here goes another one. Man, I seem like I'm straightening out a lot of theology this morning. John 10, the thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, and destroy. Oh, you know what I'm going to say? I hate to say it because I hear it all the time. I hear preachers on TV saying it all the time. The thief is the devil. No, the thief is not the devil. It's not the devil. Context, context, context. The thief is the false teacher. They are the ones that steal, kill, and destroy. Oh, here's another email. Thomas Kilcrease at Yahoo. Another email. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Man, I look at some people and I see, you know, and all of us know that once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that your problems are not over. As a matter of fact, they probably are just getting ready to get started. All right? So, you know, accepting Christ is not a cure-all for your problems. But you have somebody to walk with you through the problems. Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And so Jesus came that we might have life, that in the midst of our problems, in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of everything that we go through, that we can walk through the valley and we can go through it victoriously because the Lord is with us. In health, in financial problems, in relationship problems, in any kind of problem that you have, it's good to know that you have a friend that walks with you through that time. And that's the one thing that, you know, a lot of people don't understand. You know, I think a lot of people that get depressed and become suicidal, they don't realize the power of Jesus. Now, again, I realize that there's a lot of other dynamics working. I understand that. But I'm just saying, when we can understand this relationship with Jesus Christ, and that our problems are not going to be over, but But I tell you what, it sure is good to know that I got somebody that's right there that I can walk with and I can talk to. And you know what? I'm going to be honest. I know that some people get so overwhelmed that it's hard to fathom that sometimes. I understand that. And at times that all you can do for a person when they become so overwhelmed like that is just pray for them. Just pray for them. But I'm not talking about that person. I'm talking about the average Christian who, you know, it's just a matter of connecting with Jesus Christ. And again, your problems are not going to go away. But God will be with you through it. And so here we are as Christians. We're sitting here with the word of life. And we don't share it. I like what Adrian Rogers says. He says we should be fishing for men. He said when we fish for fish, that we take fish from a beautiful life in the sea. You ever see some tropic places and how beautiful those tropical places are? And you see the fish all kind of colors and the nice, clear, blue water, right? We take them from life in the ocean. And what do? We catch them and what? We kill them, right? So what are we doing? We're taking them from life to death. When we fish for men, we take them from death to life. A world that's caught up and dead in sin, we take them from that life of death and we bring them to this life in Jesus Christ. The power to witness. Let me hit this one. We have the power to live victoriously over sin through the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 13. So when I pray, anointing, fall on me, what am I saying? I'm saying, Lord, regenerate me. Lord, indwell me. Lord, empower me when I ask for this anointing to come upon me. Romans 8 and verse 13, it says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. The word mortify means to put to death. What are we supposed to do with the deeds of the flesh? We are to put them to death. You should not let sin reign in your life. And the thing is that you have the power to overcome sin. You know, there's no reason for the child of God, even though it happens, there's no reason for the child of God to be gripped by sin, for sin to have a grip, because we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power. He empowers us to be able to overcome. I remember when I got saved, there was a couple things that I struggled with after I gave my life to Christ. A couple serious things that I struggled with. And I remember on this one occasion, I was struggling with something. And I was sitting in my car. And the Lord said to me, at the time I was teaching Sunday school at Durango Baptist Temple. And I remember sitting in my car and the Lord said to me, Bill, you're a Sunday school teacher. You need to leave that foolishness alone. And it was at that point I said, okay, Lord. And I was done. I was done. Not in my own strength, but through the power of the Lord. What is it that grips you? What is it that has overwhelmed your life? What is it that has overtaken you? Is it some emotional problem? Is it some besetting sin? Is there something that has gripped your life right now? The Bible says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be freed indeed. He came to release you from the shackles. He came to unchain you from any sin that you might find yourself shackled to. Let me read that again. He said, mortify, the last part, mortify the deeds of the body. What does that mean? Put to death the sins that have a hold of you, the sins that are grabbing you. And I'm not going to read or get into this last one because I preached a whole sermon on it. But we have the power to exercise godly virtues. And that is Galatians 5:22. Where it says the fruit of the Spirit, that we have the fruit of the Spirit, we can exercise godly virtues in our lives. As I close and I talk about this empowerment, let me give you an example. The Apostle Peter in Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, the Apostle Peter, Matthew 26 and verse 74. Matthew 26 and verse 74. Actually, let's go back. Let's go back verse 69. This is when Christ was on trial. Verse 69. Now Peter sat outside the court, and a maid came unto him, saying, "Thou was also with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." Look at that. "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, he denied with an oath. What did he say? "Man, I swear on my mother's grave that I wasn't there." Right? "I do not know the man." After a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee." Then began he to curse and swear. Now, I don't know. I got to go back and look at this in the Greek. But I think in the Greek, you know what it means? Curse and a swear. You know? So, I mean, the essence of what he said is, "I don't know the man." But he said a whole lot of other expletives. You know, I don't know what words they used back in Jesus' day. You know, we got a whole new list of vocabulary today. But he said that he didn't know him. Peter was a coward. Peter was weak. Peter denied Jesus Christ, the one that took care of him for 3 years. But, when we turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Peter stands up in verse 22. Peter said, "You men of Israel, hear these words." Now, what did they say before? Jesus of Nazareth, right? Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel, foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands, and you have crucified and slain him." Wow. Where did that boldness come from? Where did that come from? Well, look at chapter 2 and verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came the sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared the cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." What made the difference? What made the difference in Peter's life? The Holy Spirit. He went from a weak coward to a powerful, outspoken man of God. Why? Because the power of the Holy Ghost was upon him. Anointing falling on me.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of part 2 of Anointing Fall on Me from our series, Will the Real Holy Spirit Please Stand Up? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, part 1 of Anointing Fall on Me, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request part 1 of Anointing Fall on Me. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request part 1 of Anointing Fall on Me, or you can contact us at 877-831-5060. Again, that's 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can request the entire series, Will the Real Holy Spirit Please Stand Up? We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Please keep in mind that we remain on the air through your prayers and gifts. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored.